intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of the PC Invasion podcast. My name's Peter Parrish. Last week, I managed to get through the whole thing without accidentally calling it the Ink Gamers podcast, and I'm very proud of myself for that. Once again, joined in the bunker by Paul Younger. Hello, Paul.
Hello, good evening.
Potentially joined by Tim McDonald. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Tim not feeling so great this week, so he may vanish. At various points.
I might have to suddenly disappear.
But we're giving it a go. We're giving it a go.
Let it never be said that I've missed a podcast.
That's right, you are present. If only for this intro bit, you are present.
This is what we get, Peter, though, for getting him to clean the bunker toilets out. I mean, he gets all kinds of weird diseases. And
I think it's because we only have vegetarian haggis to eat, frankly.
Yeah.
Bit of housekeeping business from last week. Someone left us a comment saying that there is a bit of like audio popping and stuff on the podcasts. Yeah, there is. I agree, and that's a bit annoying. Basically, I think it's because we record on Skype. I'm on a completely different continent. Tim's on the Isle of Man. Paul's in the UK, so Skype is pretty much the only option we have. Basically, I think when we talk at the same time, sometimes there's some audio popping and stuff. I try and go through it in post-production and look for the spikes to try and edit those out, but some of them do get through, I'm afraid, so I apologise for any audio pops you have. It's probably, if you're listening on headphones especially, it's probably quite annoying, but I do what I can. Not much more I can do, I'm afraid.
Unless one of the pops happened at the start of that particular discussion, in which case I think that was actually just Paul moving his microphone.
Well, there are other, like, if they hear this sound, that's me banging my pen against the desk, which I sometimes do and probably shouldn't. But yeah, anyway, that's that. I'm sorry, I'll do what I can to remove those. Onwards to PC news discussion and that. Well, something that's just breaking and happening this morning is Chris Avellone has left Obsidian Entertainment after about 12 years, I think, since he was a founder member, and they've been around about that long, which is kind of surprising because he's been associated with them, you know, for that length of time. And yeah, we do actually, bizarrely, have an interview with him that's either happened today or was happening earlier today. Is that not right, Paul?
Yeah, I believe Rich managed to pin him down. So yeah, it just kind of coincided at exactly the same time as this announcement, which is a bit odd, but there you go.
So if possible, we'll obviously be asking him. Well, I say we. It will be Rich. I'm not helping. It'll be pinning him down with, maybe what he's going to do next, or at the very least, I guess, his final actions at Obsidian and stuff, which were probably to write the couple of companions for Pillars of Eternity, Durant and the Grieving Mother. I think that's mostly what he did on that game. So yeah, kind of surprising, and I'm a bit annoyed because now he can't write Alpha Protocol 2. So
I'm sorry, Peter, but I don't think that was ever happening. We've got a better chance of an Acronox 2.
Just because Sega own Alpha Protocol, and yeah, you're right. But now maybe he can go off and make Beta Mission Objective, whatever, the spy sequel.
I'm surprised actually it's taken this many podcasts for you not to bring Alpha Protocol 2 up again.
we made it to number 2. So good job, everyone. Me, mostly. Yeah, not much more to say, because he hasn't said what he's doing next.
He's is this really going to alter his workload? Because from what I can gather, he hasn't actually been doing that much for Obsidian. He's just been popping up in other people's kickstarted RPGs.
That is actually true, yes. He's done a bunch of stuff for In Exile. He did some Wasteland 2 stuff. I think he's doing some stuff on their version of Torment, which would make sense, because he wrote the vast majority of Planescape Torment. He's one of the better comments I saw where was that he's going to pursue his career as a professional Kickstarter stretch goal. is basically what he's been doing for the past couple of years. So maybe he'll just be a kind of wandering minstrel-like writer who attaches himself to various RPG projects, which I wouldn't be too sad about that. As long as we get more Avalon writing in multiple RPGs. Who knows? We will see. Moving on to the stuff that I actually had listed in the podcast agenda. Steam refunds is kind of the biggie for the week, I would say. Steam finally announced this last week, I think just after we recorded the podcast, possibly. Finally introduced a refund system. I mean, they did sort of have one before, but you had to ask them very nicely and quote European Union law at them to make them give you a refund. But now they just have a straight up policy. If you bought the game within the last couple of weeks and haven't played it for more than 2 hours, you can pretty much have a no questions asked refund, it seems. Tim, you have kind of experimented with this, I think.
I did. I bought Hatred and played Hatred for 20 minutes, which was about all I could tolerate of it, and then I refunded Hatred.
Well done. And did that go smoothly? Was that a smooth process?
Yeah, pretty much. It was incredibly easy to sort out and arrange as soon as I actually found the page where you go to claim your refunds, which isn't that difficult. It's just the sort of Steam support database help page, whatever the hell it is. From then you just basically wait a lot.
Yeah.
I think it took pretty much a week for them to refund me, which isn't too bad. I was actually expecting it to be a bit quicker than that, if only because I deliberately tried to make it a little bit quicker by asking for the refund to go to my Steam wallet rather than to my actual bank account. Mm. Even after they sent me an email, I can't remember when it was it last Thursday, last Friday, basically saying, hey, your refund's been approved. Like, okay, well, since you're putting the cash into my Steam wallet, shouldn't it be there now? I still have to wait a few days. Okay.
The time aspect, I wonder if it's because they are under a bit of stress for a great many refunds currently, just because it's a new system and all that.
That would make sense in terms of the time it took for them to actually approve the refund. I'm just a little confused as to what took them sort of 4 days to actually add the money back to my Steam account.
Yeah, true.
It's called getting interest.
Yeah. Right. It's been engaged.
Well, are they even actually losing money off that? I mean, they've still got the money. It's just in my Steam account. It's not in my bank.
That's true, actually, yeah. I'm kind of wondering. It's in virtual Gaben dollars, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Gabe bucks.
Steam fun money.
That's the one. I had something I was going to say there, but I've forgotten what it was. Anyway. Well,
regardless, that's still hardly, you know, a long time or a particularly dreadful wait or anything like that. It was entirely painless. I basically just went onto the site, and when the form popped up asking for the reason I wanted a refund, and I indicated it's not fun and typed in something like, it's shit. They had no problem with that, apparently.
Good. Well, that's what their little blurb said. It was like, if you've bought it and it doesn't work on your PC, or you bought it and you just don't like it, or, you know, anything, really.
Do you think that's right, though, to sort of say, like, you've made the decision to buy it, so you've obviously read the synopsis, probably watched the videos, maybe have watched the stream or whatever. And then
because we know that those are all really accurate, like when Assassin's Creed Unity came out. I mean,
no,
that game
I know.
amazing. It was brilliant.
But you think, go back to the days of box copies where there wasn't digital downloads and you went into a shop and you purchased it.
Mm.
I mean, you probably wouldn't. If you went and just went, it's shit, the guy at the counter would probably tell you to leave.
You could return it, though. You could always. I don't know what the status is with returning box copies now, because I haven't done it in about 10 years.
They have CD keys, so it probably wouldn't work.
Yeah. You certainly could previously return them, and maybe you couldn't just say it's a bit crap. You might have to slightly embellish a reason, but I mean, every industry pretty much has a refund option. I think this is pretty good, and honestly, they're kind of, if they didn't introduce their own, they're going to ultimately be forced to by European Union law, which is either on or close to forcing sellers of digital goods to implement this kind of system.
Or alternatively, they would tell Europe to go fuck themselves and we would lose Steam.
Yeah, which wouldn't be ideal, really.
Had you also noticed that the amount of refunds on titles has increased dramatically? A lot of indie devs are complaining about this.
Yeah, no. I mean...
Well, the fact that the amount of refunds has increased is hardly a surprise, because there is now a refund system.
Yes, that's kind of my thinking on that. I mean, I've seen a couple of articles and a couple of people, a couple of devs kind of going, look, you know, out of my 12 sales this week, 8 of them were refunded or something like that. I don't think there's anywhere near enough refund data available currently to look at long-term trends, because it's been available for, what, a week max?
I half agree with you on that. I mean, granted, there clearly isn't enough information, but when you consider the number of games there are on Steam that can actually be pretty much finished in 2 hours.
Mm.
I mean, things like VVVVVV or Gone Home or The Stanley Parable.
Yeah.
You play those for about an hour and a half and you've seen the majority of what's in there, and then you can just get a refund.
That is, yes. The 2 hour thing, I think, is... I know what they're going for with that, but it's a bit strange, because it feeds into that, like, judging a game by its length thing, which I've, like, never agreed with. You know, you can have a perfectly great game that lasts a couple of hours, as you can have one that lasts 60 hours. I don't know if they need, like, a clause for that that says, well... The problem with this is you would need, like, humans to actually look into the refund process, and it's pretty clear they want to have it automated, ultimately.
I don't know. I think that the easiest thing to do with it would probably be to set the amount of time to the game's price. Like, if the game costs $2.99 or something like that, then you get 20 minutes instead of 2 hours.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly.
Is this just not is this just not another argument for actual developers to actually start releasing demos again?
Well, in a way, you now sort of have a demo process, don't you? Because you can buy a game, demo it, and then get a refund. You effectively have a 2-hour demo of every game on Steam. I mean, they have said we will be looking out for people who are abusing the refund process. So were you to do this persistently, I think you might get flagged, and they might start having a word.
Actually, there's a thought. Maybe I should use this to see how Assassin's Creed Unity runs on my computer.
You could. You actually could.
Yeah. And then if it runs shit, I actually have a legitimate reason for a refund as well.
How does that one work, though, if you buy it on Steam? Because it still goes through Uplay, doesn't it? And then,
good question.
I don't know. I'm not sure how that one would work.
I would experiment with that if it didn't cost, like, 90 quid.
Totally worth it, man. Trust me. Yeah, so there are definitely potential loopholes with this. There are, like, yeah, if you want to be a total arsehole on Steam, you can abuse this a little bit. But, you know, I'm hopeful that most people aren't arseholes on Steam. Some of them are going to be, obviously. But I'm kind of banking on the fact that the majority of people will just use this as the extremely beneficial and long overdue customer service that it is. I mean, to talk about some positives, it'll hopefully push back against some of the absolute shite that's been sneaking its way onto Greenlight and early access and stuff like that. Because now you can't just release any old crap and then be like, ah, got your money, tough shit. Because everyone's just going to be like, oh, no, this is terrible, I'm just going to get a refund.
Yep. I don't get me wrong, I agree that this is entirely a good move. The only thing I worry about is that I'm more cynical than you, and I do inherently believe that lots of people are arseholes, possibly because I read Steam user reviews in the Steam forums. I don't want to see sort of the shorter, brilliant game experiences getting kind of punished by this.
Yeah,
I think there is no problem with it that I can see from a consumer point of view. The only problem is essentially that weird-ass two-hour time.
Yeah,
I feel like that maybe needs a bit more work done to it.
I agree, in the sense that I don't want to see. Yeah, I don't want to see people just getting cheeky refunds for games that they've actually finished and in actual fact had a reasonable time with and don't really need their money back on. If you're going to be that much of a jerk about it, like, you're not just pirating those games. I mean, that's not necessarily, because now you have a sort of legal way to do it, I suppose, but
yeah, that's kind of the thing. You've now got a legitimate means. You are now allowed to do it. And there are a lot of people who wouldn't pirate things simply because, you know, it's illegal, it's not allowed, I don't do things like that. Whereas this, on the other hand, is entirely legitimate.
I think what I would simply say is that for people looking at the current stats, I think it's wrong for developers to instantly kind of go like, oh, people are abusing the system because a whole bunch of refunds came in. Like, maybe they had technical issues, or maybe they just didn't like it that much, or, you know, now there is a refund system in place. People are going to use it. Some of those refunds are going to be legitimate. I think it's unreasonable to assume that they're all just people who are jerks who are laughing at you and going, ah, I got your game for free. Ah.
I would argue that is absolutely fair.
And you're quite right. Some of them undoubtedly will be people like that. And hopefully there's a way of, implementing maybe more of a tweak or a check on the two-hour thing. I mean, I am a little bit cynical about how closely Valve will be monitoring the, like, are you abusing the system thing. I'm hopeful that they will support that and monitor that properly, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's quite possible that they're just saying that. No intention of really looking at it.
Unless you really are like a serial doing this four times a day kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm
going to go and spend 200 quid on Steam, try out a load of games, and get it all back.
Just
in a week.
The other concern that I just didn't buy at all was, like, people are going to buy games and then idle for the cards and sell them and then get the refund. Oh, great, that's a really good way to get, like, 40 cents. Well, amazing. I mean,
I don't know, there are some games where the cards are... Yeah, that's not happening.
I mean, good luck to you if you reckon that's a good source of income, because I really don't think that's a viable means of generating wealth for yourself, really. Definitely some legitimate concerns here, but I think generally long overdue. Would you agree, Paul? You're playing some devil's advocate a little bit before, or do you not? Do you genuinely not think people should necessarily get a refund just for, like, I don't like it much?
I'd just like to have seen demos, really, to be perfectly honest, instead of this refund malarkey. Because then the developer can then kind of tailor it to give a sort of taste of maybe the best bits of the experience or whatever, because sometimes games take a bit of time to get going.
That's true.
So you know, like, sometimes in demos in the past we've seen something maybe start on mission 2 or, you know, a snippet of a section a bit later on. So I don't know, I still would like to have seen more demos appear on Steam than have done in the past.
I mean, I'm not against that, although I think it's the thing studios have always said about demos is that it takes quite a bit of time and sort of effort to do this like little extra slice of game, which I'm sure is feasible for some of the larger ones, but again, I think indie games would be kind of struggling with that if you were saying like you have to have some sort of demo, and then they'd have a different problem to the one they have currently.
Well, so just like, release the first mission.
That is something. I mean, if you I realise we're talking about filthy consoles again, but Xbox Live Arcade always had that. Demo was mandatory. You had to have a trial version. Yeah. Although that usually was just literally the first 5 minutes of the game. That actually raises an interesting point, I think, which is, Paul, you mentioned that demos tend to have like the tutorial and then a mission from halfway through the game because that's when the game is fun. Well, what the fuck are they doing with the first four levels then? Are they really boring? Do something, change them.
Well, it could be setting up the narrative or, you know, whatever. So it's a bit slower pace.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Or it's building up some of the mechanics. It's like, well, all right, this level you're going to learn how to use your grappling hook and jumping, and then next level it'll actually be more interesting.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. In a demo, you don't get that bit. It sort of, you get a brief tutorial bit, and then it dumps you into level 5, and you have to cope by yourself.
I know, and it's good. Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Are we done on Steam refunds? Anyone got anything else they want to mention?
Yeah, I reckon it's a subject we'll probably revisit in a few weeks.
Quite likely. All right then, moving on to something else which I accidentally left out of the agenda, even though it's very interesting, certainly to me, and apologies, Paul, but it's Dark Souls 3 stuff.
Oh, God. Star Citizen. I'm going to start on that again if you start
on
this.
Did you leave this out of the agenda specifically because you knew he would veto it if it was in there?
No, weirdly, I was thinking about it but didn't actually write it in there for some weird... It was like 93 degrees yesterday here. I was a bit confused and disoriented.
Celsius?
No, not Celsius. It's what, 34, 35 Celsius, I guess? Something like that.
Okay.
Pretty warm, anyway. Anyway,
you really have gone native. You're talking Fahrenheit now.
Well, that's, you know, yeah. That's what all the weather reports are listed in. Can't help it. But anyway, speaking of things that are hotting up, Dark Souls 3 news. Sorry.
Get out! Get out of the bunker.
What? I don't want to go out there. It's irradiated and all horrible.
You'll be fine.
This is very much still a like rumor state. This is one of the weirdest leaks I have ever encountered because, first of all, it came from a source that a few days prior, their big leak reveal was that Microsoft had purchased Silent Hills, the abandoned Konami game, and that it was actually about 80% complete. Right, that was just utter garbage. It was complete bullshit. Right, a few days later, that was their previous like leak thing. All of a sudden, they've got Dark Souls 3 news with some pretty convincing looking screenshots. So it's like, hang on, you've gone from garbage rumor mongers to hang on, you've actually got something here. This is weird. Where have you got this?
I will say, Peter, when that broke at what, like 3 a.m. or something, we spotted it. I was sending it to Tim.
Yeah.
Tim was having head fits at the inaccuracies in the reporting.
Yeah,
and said that you'd be absolutely livid.
That's the other thing, yeah. Like, half the information in that video basically seemed to be wrong.
I like that they kept going over to this one guy to ask him about how this relates to Dark Souls, because he's presumably the Dark Souls expert, and I don't think he's actually played Dark Souls.
Yeah.
It's kind of like going over to Tim's mum for a quick synopsis of Dark Souls.
It's so weird. It's like when, I don't know, it'd be like the Daily Sport leaking some real top-level political memos or something, you know? You're like, how, why are you doing this? How do you have this? This is just weird. Anyway, Tim, they do look pretty legit, those screenshots, though, do you think?
I mean, yes, they do.
I couldn't fault them, really.
It looks like Dark Souls. I mean, you can kind of argue that they're a little bit low res, but then again, they're leaked screenshots on a YouTube video. So, yeah, they probably do. No, it looks genuine to me, which is quite weird.
Yeah, and they had the one shot of the boss with the sort of phantom swords in the ground all around him, which is reminiscent of the graveyard part with Sif in the first Dark Souls, and reminiscent of a scene in the Berserk manga, which Dark Souls cribs quite heavily from, and all that stuff. And yeah, it's basically kind of an unofficial version of Berserk at times, as far as I'm aware. So, you know, all this is very convincing. You know, or it's one hell of a fake, or it's some, like, weird abandoned concept stuff that is never going to see the light of day. I don't know. I really don't know, other than the screenshots look quite good and quite convincing, so fair play to the no for getting them from somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how this came about. It's very unusual, but yeah, it all does look quite authentic. And in true Dark Souls fashion, almost all of it appears to be completely unexplained, particularly with regards to the new mechanics, which sound incredibly confusing. And there will, you know, probably be reams of information on them about wikis right after the game is launched that will be largely inaccurate and as hopelessly confusing as the mechanics themselves.
This was the other strange thing about it. The way they were just kind of, I mean, this is probably symptomatic of the fact that they hadn't really known much, didn't play Dark Souls that much, but the sort of bullet point stuff about like 40 new enemies, 15 new bosses.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really weird kind of, I don't know, that you don't get that in a standard press release for a Dark Souls game. It's strange.
I agree and kind of disagree. This does sort of feed into the E3 fact sheet stuff that you tend to get given at E3 events.
True.
If it is an E3 announcement, I can imagine there being a piece of paper with loads of bullet points like that on it.
Yeah.
It's not the sort of thing you would see at an actual presentation, but it's the sort of thing that would be written down for you.
Yeah, I mean, the rumour is, of course, that it will pop up at E3, which I guess is a pretty good way to segue into E3 stuff.
We have to talk about E3 already.
Yes, we do. It's creeping, like Christmas, it's creeping nearer every year because Bethesda are doing their thing on Sunday evening. Jerks. It's going to be one of those things. Soon it's going to be on Saturday. Then it's going to start on like the Friday before.
And it'll start in January.
Perpetual E3 year round. Yeah, obviously, as people who have to write about it, it's a little bit more grueling than for people who just get to watch it and enjoy the smorgasbord of trailers and reveals and information and stuff like that.
It's called Hell Week.
Now featuring Sunday evening as part of Hell Week, yeah. This is, I'm particularly annoyed because it's going to clash with the final episode of Game of Thrones. So thanks for that, Bethesda. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah, they should know better as well.
And they should. There's definitely crossover between the games writing and enthusiast audience and the Game of Thrones audience.
We
should just boycott the Bethesda thing in protest.
But we know it's going to be just Fallout 4 and Doom and whatever Battlecry is, so...
And them desperately attempting to make the Elder Scrolls Online sound relevant.
Probably, yeah, that as well, but we can ignore that. Well,
I'm not sure I want to ignore it, Peter. I'm kind of looking forward to writing something sarcastic about that.
It's gone free to play. Nobody saw that coming.
The MMO that nobody wanted now doesn't cost you money per month.
Elder Scrolls Online.
That's just like WildStar. That just went free to play as well. Like, that wasn't on the cards from week two.
Yeah.
That's not actually free to play yet, though, is it? That's like, they've announced it's going free to play in a few months or something.
Yeah, they're basically just winding it into that now, I think.
Yeah.
Tim, is there anything interesting you're looking forward to at E3? Come on. I know you're like world's most cynical man, but is there anything in there that would give you a nugget of joy and happiness, even if it's just people on stage making asses of themselves?
The part when it ends?
So like the Friday afternoon, basically.
Yeah. I don't know. Ubisoft's conferences are usually good for a laugh, either with them or at them.
That's true. That's true.
No, they're usually interesting to watch. I'm obviously excited to see if anything actually comes out of this Dark Souls reveal. If anything, the stuff that mostly interests me would actually be the stuff that hasn't been announced or revealed or anything. I'm looking forward to the surprises.
Yeah, fair enough.
I know that's kind of a slightly unorthodox answer, but it's true. I can't think of that much that we know about that I'm really eager to see more of. But I'm hopeful that we'll see a couple of neat little surprises that nobody was really expecting.
Well, if last year at Sony's thing, it was, Grim Fandango remaster, which kind of came out of nowhere for me and was very welcome when it was quickly confirmed it was coming to the PC as well. So, you know, stuff of that caliber, I'm definitely interested in seeing.
I want them to announce that they're remastering Grim Fandango again.
Does that mean we have to watch the console conferences as well?
Oh, we probably do, Paul, I'm afraid.
Really?
We always do, Paul. We have to.
Yeah.
Because that's where they talk about. Because, you know, there's always
cross-platform
Call
stuff.
Call of Duty or Assassin's Creed. There's always some exclusive tied to one console, and there's like half an hour of gameplay footage of that game. Yeah. So we have to watch them.
Well, with any luck, the bunker will get hit by a solar flare and the transmission will drop.
So, Paul, the one you want to watch, obviously, is the PC gaming event show extravaganza, or whatever that's called, on Tuesday evening.
Well, yeah, because I can't wait to see the new armor textures.
They've got 2 hours to fill, so it better be good.
I'm a little confused about this one, actually. Is this actually like a sort of a proper big conference that's going to be rivaling the Ubisoft and Xbox ones, or is this basically a bunch of PC developers going, we want in on this, and half-heartedly assembling a show about it?
Why not both, then? Can't it be both?
Everything I've seen, I kind of get the impression it's more the latter.
Yeah.
It's more of a Me Too thing than an actual proper conference show presentation.
Well, it's a bit weird in the sense that it's geared around a platform rather than a publisher or, I suppose, in Microsoft and Sony's case, a company. So it's a bit unusual. So Bohemia are going to be there, Tripwire, Blizzard, or some other people who I've forgotten. I think the Star Citizen people are going to be there, Paul.
Of course they'll be there. They'll have a big bucket taking collections of money.
Just people throwing dollars at the stage.
They will drive on stage in a solid gold limousine.
Oh, are people going to be like tucking dollars in Chris Roberts' waistband in a really like...
Yeah, as he pole dances. Just like the Alan Partridge cutaways where he's in his leather thong.
More money and I'll show you some DirectX 12 exclusive features from Star Citizen or something. Yeah. I'm interested in that event because I think the potential for it being a bit weird and a bit stupid are quite high, and I'm always pleased when an event turns a bit weird and stupid. So
You normally have to rely on Ubisoft for that one, and there it's a coin flip.
Yeah.
Whereas with Microsoft and Sony conferences, it's just executives looking sweaty and nervous and desperately trying to be hip and down with the kids.
And going like, I know what Call of Duty is about. I know what Metal Gear Solid is, honest. It's like, I don't know the story to Metal Gear Solid. There's no way you do.
It's games. They're rad, guys. They still use the word rad, don't they?
They're wicked.
I just wonder how many times the word awesome will be used the whole 7-day week.
Should we try and count? I mean,
I think we need some sort of buzzword counter. I think it's got to have epic, awesome.
Revolutionary is not always that big, but it comes out quite often.
And it's always wrong.
Yes.
My favourite's Visceral. That was last year's, wasn't it?
Visceral is, yeah, that's pretty popular, usually.
I think we should get Tim on the bottle of vodka again every time Awesome has said yes to...
We've already said he's not very well, Paul. This isn't going to help.
Paul, I nearly died the last time we did that. That was the BGAs, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he was, yeah.
Yeah, I think you fell off your chair, Tim.
Probably. Yeah. Dude, I had like a litre of vodka and drank 3/4 of it.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
We just looked on and laughed.
That was the event when Dark Souls 2 was revealed. See, that was a good reveal. I was not expecting Dark Souls 2 to show up at that, and it did.
I must admit, that was the best Twitch stream we've ever done.
Out of what? About 4?
I think that was probably the first one we did, and probably the last one that we did.
How many people did we have? About 3 people watching it at its peak. It was amazing. Yes.
Anyway, we're not doing that again. I do genuinely think that we might want to keep an eye on these buzzwords, though.
Yeah, it's
tough. I do kind of want a counter, like, on the right-hand side of the page.
If we could automate it in some way, yeah, that would be perfect. But
yeah, we've got a big red button that we just push.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, we're going to be watching these conferences anyway. I think that we should sort of mark them out. And maybe one for the inevitable deluge of press releases as well.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm going to... if I remember this, which is not guaranteed, then I might try and keep an eye on this.
I'll certainly look out for... maybe try and spot some new ones that crop up as well, see if there's a new trend. Maybe they've moved away from Visceral and Revolutionary and Awesome to something else. I mean, Next Gen obviously gets thrown around like crazy.
Next Gen. I wouldn't mind that so much if that was actually accurate. It's not Next Gen anymore, guys. It's Current Gen.
Yeah.
It's been for a year.
And Current Gen is still way behind PCs. Like, there's no way of not sounding like a snob, an elitist by saying that, but it's just factually true. So... tough luck. Anyway, we'll be covering all of this E3 business, anything PC relevant anyway, and probably a bunch of stuff that we're having to guess whether it's PC relevant because they're being a bit vague about it, like Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah. And then there will be clarifications about 3 days later.
Yeah, when they go, oh yeah, it is on the PC. Sorry.
And they finally remember to write a press release.
Yeah. That'll be fun. It's going to be great. I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
I'm excited.
It's even worse when you're there, trust me.
I've never been to an E3, and I'm quite pleased about that.
I have been to an E3, and I have never worked that hard in my life.
Mm.
Yeah, it wasn't fun, Tim, was it?
Although, not really, no.
Were you not hanging around the sort of Asian-Japanese type game booths looking for ladies? At least that's what we were accusing you of.
I know, I do remember there was one point when I was hanging around the Square Enix massive area for about an hour, but that was primarily because I had like 3 interviews scheduled there with about 2-minute break between them.
That's worth mentioning, actually. Square Enix are having their own event this year as well.
Ooh, maybe they can announce more really shit PC ports of Final Fantasy
games. That's what I'm hoping.
you can see where this is going, and it's full circle, where the actual main E3 event will just disappear, and there'll just be lots of conferences.
Yeah, I mean, they're already back up to about 9, so... when it was a few years ago, it was down to a nice manageable 3 or 4, and it's just ballooned up again back to...
We are going to get to the point where there are going to be 2 or 3 conferences happening at the same time.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. I think that's already happening, actually, to an extent, because aren't AMD doing one that's the same time as Nintendo's thing?
Nobody cares about Nintendo either.
Hey, I like their conferences now because they're pre-recorded, so they can just dick around. They don't actually do the stage thing anymore. Anyway. Whatever. Moving on to what we've played. What did we play this week, chaps? I know what you played, Paul. You played Dirty Bomb because you've just reviewed it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it?
Well, I do. It's pretty much what I said last week. Nothing's changed. I give it another week of running around, shooting things over and over and doing the same objectives over and over again. and looking at the cash shop pricing and going, oh, really? So yeah, nah, it's a solid shooter, but really there's not a lot to it, sort of strategically wise, for want of a better phrase than that. But yeah, it's a bit of a letdown actually, and I'm extremely disappointed that Splash Damage just have lost any ability to create a good team-based shooter, which is just
like because you spent like £150 on it.
No. Well, I did back it originally in the hope, right? In the hope that maybe Brink was just a bit sort of a drug-induced haze that they fell into for a couple of years, and that they were going to sort of snap out of the fact that the game was a complete pain in the arse flop anyway, and they wouldn't make the same mistake again. But how wrong I was. It's not as bad as Brink. Don't put me that way. I mean, I actually thought Brink was okay-ish, but it's just a shame, actually. How the mighty have fallen.
You have complained quite a lot about the team problems you have. Is it the sort of thing, would it be significantly improved if you were playing with like a group of players you actually know and can coordinate with?
Maybe. It's just the whole loadout and park system. It's just kind of like you don't really know what you're up against. Because if somebody's dropped a whole lot of cash in and then got all the loadout cards and then got the best loadout cards for their particular character, then which you don't know, and just wondering why you keep dying because they're like they've got some special extra 25% health or something. It's just that kind of
pay to win.
Yeah, it's kind of pay to win, but done in a sort of way where it isn't could be perceived not to be pay to win. It's just a bit. It's a bit shady, really. I don't like it. I just considering they released Quake Wars, then they released Brink, and then they released this. It's just like, well, didn't you learn anything? You know, last time.
How many of the people who made Quake Wars or whatever? How many of those are still at Splash?
Probably not many. I wouldn't imagine so. But for God's sake, it doesn't take long to put the CD in, get on the servers because there are servers live, and actually play with some people.
Yeah, but you don't want to just straight up copy that, do you?
No, but it's kind of like looks a little bit dated now. It really could be bought up to date. They could have taken a lot of the elements
like
they've put in this and just made it a similar type of game. It would have been different enough.
So what you want from E3 is the Quake Wars HD re-release remaster.
Oh man. I've got a boner thinking about it.
Oh, delightful.
Sorry.
Well, we have to share a bunker with you, Paul.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, but it's an okay shooter. It's nothing more than that. I think if you read the review, I think I'm up pretty much cover and explain why it's just okay. And it's not anything to be too concerned about or jump on Steam to try.
I mean, as you round off by saying it is free at the point of entry, so if you want to have a look at it, then you can quite easily.
I mean, it is free, but after about a week of probably running around free, you'll probably be going, why am I doing this? So it's probably not worth, well, I don't know, just give it a go. If you really like it, then play it. But really, if you're looking for something new and exciting in the world of shooters, this is probably not it.
Tim, Witcher 3? Still playing The Witcher 3?
Oh yes, obviously. Although, in the last few days I've spent quite a lot of time playing Heroes of the Storm as well, because I did write a thing about that.
Yeah.
While we're talking about ludicrously priced cash shops.
That would have been a better segue. I apologise for missing that one, but let's do that. I mean, you have written about this on PCInvasion.com, which you can go and read about, but to summarise, is it the easy MOBA for casuals?
Yes and no. It's certainly a lot simpler. I think it offers something that's actually unique and different to most of the MOBAs out there. It's MOBA as a genre does not necessarily define one exact type of game, much like how first-person shooters contain everything from Quake 3 to Counter-Strike. They are very, very different types of game.
Fair enough, yeah.
And this is a very different type of game. It's a lot faster paced. It's more focused on taking particular objectives around the map, the non-farming up in lanes and pushing. And yeah, it offers something genuinely a bit unique and different, and I'm having quite a good time with it. Although I do have to go back to the cash shop, because holy shit, £10 for a hero is insane.
Well, that's not far off from Dirty Bomb, which I think was, what, like £8 for a character?
Yeah, £8, yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be the model.
That is crazy. Although the advantage with Heroes of the Storm, it doesn't take too long to earn sort of the in-game gold you need to just buy it in-game.
How long would you estimate, broadly speaking? How much do you have to play, broadly speaking, do you reckon, to get enough?
It depends, because in terms of the in-game gold prices, they vary from like 4,000 to 10,000.
Right, okay.
Depending on how much it costs in real money as well. When you first start your account, though, as you level up your profile, you basically get gold thrown at you.
Right.
It's like playing for a few hours, and you should have enough to buy a couple of the cheaper characters easily, or possibly even one of the more expensive ones. Grinding takes a while because that's fairly slow, but if you just sort of hop on for two or three games a day, then you'll get more money doing that than you would by grinding out 50 games a night.
Right.
What have you been playing? Sorry, I've...
That's fine. No, funnily enough, I've played The Witcher 3 a little bit.
What?
Oh, how far are you now?
I did probably all of, but I met Kira, the witch, witchy Kira.
Did
some cave spelunking, beat up a wild hunt man, found the magic lamp, went on a boat, screwed up another chance to get a pass across the river, which I seem to be quite good at.
Did you get naked?
Not in this particular play session, but I have recently got naked as Geralt, because he does quite often, which I'm fine with.
I've also had another opportunity to get naked as Geralt recently as well.
He's a fine specimen of a Witcher, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yep.
Do you know what? I quite like, even though I was taking the piss out of possibly IGN or Eurogamer for making it a specific news story that Geralt's beard dynamically grows throughout the game, I think that's quite a cool feature. I think it's quite neat that his beard grows longer.
I would agree if it actually grew long, but it doesn't.
Oh, does it kind of stall out?
Yeah.
Oh, I want like a full Karl Marx Geralt beard.
Yeah. I want Geralt the Gandalf. But no, I think how you start the game is about as long as it can go.
All right. Well, I mean, it's still fun, but maybe that's something they can work on in a patch.
Yeah, it could be like an extra game mechanic where you have to try not trip over your beard when you're fighting.
Or get it caught in one of the enemies or something like
that. Yeah.
Some drowner comes along and then gets
you could,
all
you could use it. You could use it as a secondary weapon.
Yeah, like a whip.
Trip people up with it.
DLC.
Come on, CD Projekt, make it happen.
Although you'd have to be so careful with your fire spells.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I like to use that one as well, so... Mm. The other thing I like, more of a serious concrete point, is that while you are the protagonist and hero of the story, you're not like fantasy Jesus. You're not going to go and fix, as far as I can tell, you know, not that far in. It doesn't seem like Geralt is going to fix the war and like resolve the political situations and stuff. He's just a dude who's really good at killing monsters.
I'm not far enough to say for sure. It is entirely possible that he will wind up resolving the war, but I can pretty much guarantee you that if he does, it's not going to end happily for most people.
Yes, yeah.
This is not a game where Geralt fixes everything and then the land is happy and free.
Right, which is really refreshing because there's so many RPGs. I mean, even in, much as I love it, even Dark Souls, the first one, you are basically sort of trying to fix things. Again, it doesn't really work out like that, but that could still be read as a sort of that type of game. But yeah, so I like the fact that you have a main quest to pursue, but a lot of the time you're just getting caught up in like, hey, there's a really bad monster, can you go and kill that? Well, yes, I can, that's my job, that's what I'm best at.
Yep.
Can you resolve the war? Probably not. I'm not a politician or a diplomat, so no.
Again, there are things I can't talk about because spoilers, obviously. There are, you know, Geralt does get dragged into things often.
Well, sure, I'm expecting that to happen, but...
There is one point specifically I can think of where... Because the witches are supposed to be neutral. They're not meant to pick any sides in this. They're like a completely separate faction that don't get involved in the wars or anything. Someone basically asked for my assistance with something political. And I sort of trotted out the line, oh, well, no, I can't do that because I'm neutral. And you just responded with, bollocks, you're just using that as an excuse because you don't know what side to pick. It's like, yeah, you're probably quite right, actually.
But it's a good excuse to have. So, yeah, that's kind of what I've gleaned from my Witcher 3 escapades.
Yep, I love the writing, I love the moral greyness of it and all that sort of thing. There are lots and lots of things I love about it. I'm just really bored of the combat.
And the menus are a bit balls, I have to say.
Yes, the menus are very balls.
And, like, I'm in the middle of combat, I need to apply, like, an oil to my weapon, alright, I'll bring up the menu then and go over to it and apply it. It's a bit of a chore having to do that, honestly.
Yeah.
But, you know.
The combat's not bad. Doesn't really hold up over the 80 to 150 hours the game lasts.
See,
rare for a game to actually have combat that lasts that long, but on the other hand, if I'm sighing when a fight starts, then that's not really a good thing.
I've played it for about 10 hours or so, and so I'm still perfectly fine with how the combat is. But I can foresee this occurring as well. There you go. That's all we've played and stuff. I didn't want to get too embroiled in anything heavy before E3 appeared, and frankly there isn't masses of code being tossed around for precisely that reason. I was expecting a Might and Magic Heroes 7 beta code, but that never showed up. So
you don't want to get embroiled in anything big or major, so you just start with The Witcher 3.
Yeah, but I can leave. I'm not like writing anything about that necessarily, so I can just leave it. It doesn't matter.
Actually, that raises an unfortunate question. Isn't Arkham Knight out in like 2 weeks?
Maybe not 2 weeks, but close. Yeah,
I'm got 20th of June or something.
June 20th.
23rd of June, 2 weeks today.
That is 2 weeks. Yes, it is.
John Batman.
Fuck off, Warner Brothers. Seriously.
They thought releasing it in summer would be a good idea, but maybe it wasn't.
Maybe not, you know, right as E3 finishes.
Yeah, that's a bit me.
This is also going to make it a complete pain in the arse to get review codes, you realise, because all the PR people are going to be at E3.
Yeah. Well,
I might start sending emails about John Batman. This week.
We shall endeavour to get hold of him and his Batmobile. I saw a great trailer for it where the Batmobile, you can sort of call the Batmobile much like you call a horse in The Witcher 3, and the Batmobile just like steams around the corner and flies through about 8 people, sending them across the road. But it's okay because it has some sort of weird electrical barrier on it, so you know, they're not dead or anything, they're just horribly mangled and electrocuted, so it's fine.
Why invent that?
You invent that so it's non-lethal, Paul, because Batman's a non-lethal guy, even though he plainly isn't, given what he gets up to in the Batman games. What's going to be on PCInvasion.com this week? Well, I think there is an interview with the people who are doing Umbra, the action RPG.
Yeah, that's just got its Kickstarter funding, so that'll be quite interesting. I'm going to have a look at the tech demo of that as well, which we have. There's
Tim's Adventures in Steam Refunds, I've noticed, in CMS.
I just need to add some screenshots to that, and then we're done.
We might have the Chris Avalon interview back, hopefully, for like before E3. I've also put together a bit of a here's when the conferences are happening, here's what I reckon might be shown at them, here's what will be shown, here's what might be shown, etc., etc. She'll go up nearer the time, so you can have a nice little PC-focused guide to that sort of thing.
And as for next week, well, we have no plans, because there's no point making any plans.
It's going to be quiet, I reckon. Not that much going on. We'll probably put our feet up, have a bit of a rest.
God, if only.
I plan to have blood from my face.
We'll use it in some kind of blood ritual to stop E3. That would be useful.
Yeah. Worth cause.
Yes, indeed. And we'll probably have an E3 podcast of some description. We'll see when the best time for that is. Probably after all of the conference stuff is out of the way, so like Wednesday or Thursday or something like that.
We'll have to find the time when none of us are crying.
Yeah.
It's difficult to schedule that. We'll try.
Because we're always crying.
During E3.
Yeah, weeping onto my keyboard. Right, just, no. Yeah, positive outlook, guys. That. It's going to be good.
It will be good. Oh, just to say, also, we had a bit of a cock up in the Twitter account a couple of days ago, all over the weekend, while we were doing some import. Apologies if you got spammed. Everything is sorted out now, and we've actually just renamed the old InGamers Twitter account to the PC Invasion Twitter account now. So if you were following it, you don't have to do anything, just keep following it and so on. There is a new Google Plus account, however, which I will link up on the site actually at some point this week. And we've also got a new YouTube channel as well, which we'll start putting stuff into, like PC Invasion plays and all that kind of stuff, which I think is just on /PC Invasion, but I'll have to double check. It's all been a bit of a nightmare.
Setting up a YouTube channel did not sound easy, Paul, when you were
I do you know what? When Google decided to integrate your account with everything else, and you have other YouTube channels, it just becomes an absolute nightmare. And I was just about crying about a week ago trying to do this. And honestly, I hate Google. I really hate Google.
Except if they're giving us lots of traffic, then it's okay.
I still hate Google.
All right. There you go. On that note, thank you very much for listening to this episode 2 of the PC Invasion Podcast. We'll be back with an E3 one next week. Thank you again. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
And silent under the dawn of that last great day.
Then I was wondering who the fuck wanted early access to this.